what happened to flying rivers and rain bombs? I would like to...
rain bombs?
I would like to acknowledge the hell that is my life.
Yeah.
As you know, nobody was more outspoken bashing the comeback of American Idol than me.
Right.
Nobody cannot stand Katy Perry as much as me. I have never seen Luke Bryan and Corey the Yard Boy in the same place at the same time. I'm not convinced they're not the same person. I had to confess. You realize I make my living with credibility. Without credibility, I'm at twice daily saying, have you tried our apple fritters? That's all I got if I don't have credibility. Like the mayor should have, I come humbly before the masses. And I apologize to ABC. I apologize to Ryan Seacrest. I apologize to Katy Perry, Lionel Richie, Luke Bryan.
Wow.
You got yourself a show.
Well, I'll be.
All right. And then what did we get last night? Constant break into coverage with meteorologists who can't find rotation in southern Alabama. Now, I don't know what they think is going on in southern Alabama. When they started showing the leaning edge entering Cuba, I was like, what the hell are you thinking? Now, I do admit, in my frustration, I couldn't help but notice one of the radar screens in the perfect shape of a male genitalia with the bottom testicular area being in Mount Pleasant. And the tip being in Lanton, as they were under the gun, looking for a safe spot to get under covers.
Might have been rotation.
There was some rotation, actually, yes. But, if that's round one, seriously, you all have to get a hold of yourself. if it happened. Now, I admit, I'm a little biased. I had a nooner planned yesterday, and yes, I still call it a nooner. Why? I'm home at noon.
Well, yeah.
I get 3 hours alone with my wife. That's it. That's all we have to nurture and protect our sanity because our kids are literally driving us crazy.
That's a lot of time, 3 hours.
Well, I'm like Sting. When I stretch out, I make the most of it. I take my time. Then again, I include like a ham sandwich and some Cheetos as part of foreplay. But anyway, I digress. So, I'm just like, seriously, get a hold of yourself. You don't cancel school for what ended up being a very nice afternoon. I could have golfed. We didn't get any rain even in Franklin, let alone any violent storms. But when you're on television, breaking into one of our shows, looking in Alabama and Georgia where no one, don't give me that crap, nobody is watching you. I live in Birmingham. You're not even on the cable system. Who the hell are you talking to? Stop it. You're making a fool of yourself. It got so bad during American Idol, they were arguing and zooming in. Never mind they were literally, they were south of Huntsville, looking at rotation that they can't even see his rotation. You're making a fool of yourself and you're frustrating us. And if we ever need you, you're not going to have any credibility. Thank God yesterday was the day I had a rite of passage with my son. And it made up for that.
You sure did, buddy.
I will not allow what happened last night in an abuse of interruptive coverage to rob me of the joy and the rite of passage that took place in my home. We should get Kent on the phone in Louisville. That was a real manhood journey moment. I'll share it with you next.
All right.
Currently at the Puffy Muffin in Brentwood, we have cloudy skies and 52 degrees. Hendersonville to the north, you're cloudy and 51. There is no rotation. I repeat, no rotation.
There's still some puddles, though.
Gulch, you're under the gun. Heavy clouds are above you right now. Take cover. Cloudy, 53 with naked statues, and we presume the mayor's wearing boxers. Just not the same with this new guy, right? What a cardboard cutout he turned out to be.
Information fueled, opinion driven. This is the Michael DelGiorno Show, Super Talk 99.7.
You know, one of the great frustrations for me as a father, and Ken, you'll probably relate to this. Chris, you won't because you're perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. It really is a sickening life.
What? You're just mad at him because he's so good looking.
He's good looking, got a great kitchen table.
That is a nice table.
Oh, really we got all the chairs now.
The only guy taken down about what? $8,000 a year, but he can afford a house. I don't know how it happens. I think he walked in with his looks. They said, we'll give it to you.
He could do that.
But what about my credit score? Look at your beard.
It's been known to happen.
You're like Mike, you're like Michael W. Smith in 82. What do we all want out of everything? I've never asked this on the air, and I don't mean to make anybody uncomfortable, but in the spirit of I Can Only Imagine movie, Chris, what was your father like? You guys were very close, right?
No, actually, we weren't.
Oh, I know so much about you.
We're much closer now in adulthood than we were as kids.
That's my story, too. Yeah. Ken, yours?
My father and I are very close. We were very close. We fought a lot, but we were very close.
Probably wanted to just shave and go to school.
That
put a shirt on.
Other things. And he wanted me to get the correct tool that he asked for, and I never could. And I was
7/16, man.
One of the most fascinating things I learned going through the manhood journey with Kent Evans, manhoodjourney.org, was that you can't really program yourself to not be something. What do I mean by that? Well, if you have a father that's never home, if you have a father that never teaches you anything, if you have a father that never is at your big game or gives you great advice, you end up with this notion of, well, when I grow up and I get married and I have kids, I'm not going to be that son of a... And you can't do that. The brain doesn't work that way.
No.
You can't program a brain to not be something. You can only program a brain to be something. Now, cut to the chase, and the real solution is get your life right with God. Allow the Holy Spirit to live in your heart. Allow Jesus to not only give you an eternal life, but an abundant life on earth, and show you and teach you with rhema and revelation what it is to be a father like your heavenly Father on earth. All right, that's the solution, but let's have fun. So I always, in frustration, look at my kids and I say, you guys, you don't get it. When I was little, my father was never home. I had no one to talk to. But other punks my age, and they didn't have life figured out either. I'm here every day with you. You have quality. You have quantity. All you want to do is play games and fight. Ask me a question. I could die tomorrow. I'll answer anything. I will save you so many burdens in life if you'll just listen to me. And that's when I break out into Keith Green. Oh, my son. You are born in a world that hates you. But I'm trying to have rites of passage with them in ways I couldn't, right?
Right, right.
And these ungrateful little know-it-all sons up don't listen.
Biscuit eaters.
I don't really say that, by the way. I hit the microphone for effect, but I don't really curse. Although it's too late. Somebody's already typing. How can you share Jesus in one moment and then say, son of a... next? Because I did. So, and then what you find, all that to say, what you find is every now and then they give you like a rare window, you know, like the galaxy opens up, revealing a black hole you can enter.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to seize it.
Yes.
I can count on my hand how many times it's been. I'm with Nick every second. I don't know why he doesn't go get a 12-year-old friend. He needs one bad. And I'm aging. But I'm everything. I'm the first person he's cracking jokes to. That's how I wake up.
Yeah.
Yesterday I woke up 5:45 a.m. Now he's got a room upstairs with his own shower. You think he's in it? No. He's in my bed. And you know what I wake up to? This other man. And ain't cute anymore. He's not 8. Pretty soon, he's going to have genitalia hair. You got to go upstairs. And he's in the shower.
Oh.
Do I have, like, you know, Bart Millard for a son that's in there? I can only imagine. He's singing, Dumb ways to die. So many dumb ways to die. Over and over. And I'm looking for something to smack and hit snooze. Smack and hit snooze, and it's not a clock. It's in. Lathered up in my shower, waking me up at 5:40. Dumb way to die. I've so many dumb. I want somebody to call me and tell me what the hell that's from. Over and over and over. But I can count on one hand how many times he's given me that window. One time we were in the car and we were passing houses. I thought, oh. Because you never know with his ADD, you never get a serious answer.
Yeah.
And I drive in the car and I said, Nick, you ever thought about what kind of house you want to have someday? I can't tell you how many times I ask those questions. I get nothing. I'm going to be a hobo. I like outside. I just want to live in a dumpster.
Okay, outside.
That ain't the window. But that night he goes, you know, as long as it's a safe neighborhood and it's a decent house, I really don't care. I don't need anything as nice as we have. And I went, whoa, He's here. I'm telling you, I spend more time in the presence of Almighty God than my son. It's so rare. And I went, really? Why do you say that? I'm just not really into houses or cars that much. I said, well, that's a good thing for us to know because I know you'd rather coach than play. And someday you might want to be a coach and impact people's lives, and it doesn't pay a lot. But if we know you don't care about houses and cars, you'll be the happiest guy on earth. You don't have to be a doctor and make a lot of money. You just have to be what you've been gifted and purposed and loved to be. And by then, I'd lost him. He just moved on to another topic.
He was gone.
And I'm like, he's gone. It's gone. So yesterday, we had a little window. It happened again. He came back. I don't know how it happened. I got online. Next thing you know, I'm watching Mike Douglas clips. And Mo Howard was on.
Oh, yes.
Let me tell you something. Groucho Marx, this is really scary, right? I mean, I could be spiritual and say I'm definitely a Paulinian. All right, so Paul was my favorite. That's who I like to sit at his feet and learn from, Paul and Jesus. It doesn't mean the others are worthless. I'm just saying those are my guys.
Right.
All right. But my real heroes, this is going to get embarrassing. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Loved Groucho Marx. Loved Mo Howard.
Oh, absolutely.
Loved Pee Wee Herman before the theater incident.
Oh, yeah.
Quite frankly, even after the theater incident. But can you imagine after we've been through with our mayor? We ruined Pee Wee Herman. I mean, all he did was go to a movie and, you know, did something to himself. Anyway, so there's Mo Howard. And, I mean, the guy's so brilliant.
Yep.
And I don't know, one thing leads to another. So Nick comes home. What are you doing? I said, Nick, you ever heard of the Three Stooges?
No. What's a stooge?
Well, I said, they're kind of morons.
They're morons?
Yeah. They made 200 movies being idiots.
Who are they?
I said, well, three of them were brothers and one was an outsider. It was Moe, Larry, and Curly, and then Curly was later replaced by Shemp. Who died first? I don't know where his mind works. Who died first?
Yeah, who died?
Curly died first.
And what? He did.
He goes, when? 1952. Why?
Then who died?
I Shemp, 55. I knew he was going to ask.
Then who?
I go, then Mo, 1975. Why? I mean, he's just driving me crazy. So finally we sit down. Andrea's cooking. Just need a little nudge from his mother. Nick, just do it for your dad. Watch a couple, will you? So I started.
Oh. Awesome.
Oh. And you know, like, can't pause for a second. You know you're going to have a classic moment when the scene opens and there's only one bed, right? Because you know
Yes. The
three of them are going to go to bed together.
Exactly.
And you know it's going to lead to somebody getting smacked. Or my favorite was, there was one, and they cut to the scene, and all of a sudden there's three layers of bunk beds. Well, you know that's going to be a riot. Somebody's going to be climbing down, stepping on somebody's head. What's the matter with you? But I just loved Mo because Mo thinks he's the brilliant one.
Yes.
Mo thinks they're the idiots.
And they think he is, and they think he's the brilliant one too.
But he's an idiot just like them.
Oh, yes.
You know, and a bully. Well, what's the matter with you? Why I oughta? What's the matter with you?
But wake up and go to sleep.
Now, I know there's a lot of people that love Curly, and I was actually a Shemp person.
Yeah, I like Shemp.
And as fate would have it, it should have been all along Shemp, Mo, and Larry being the non-brother. But what happened is Shemp got a big gig. And so they had to turn to Curly, the younger brother, who was very shy and never had done anything. Mm-hmm. And then later, after Curly's strokes, we bring Shemp back. But what I loved about Shemp, because, you know, the smacks are everything. I mean, they're just everything. You know, I mean, where else can you watch a show where one smack hits all three faces? You know what I mean? What's the matter with you? So, but when he used to smack Shemp, if you ever go back and watch, Shemp's hair would flop when he'd get smacked, where Curly didn't have any hair. All right, so now play the music. But so I'm sitting down and I'm watching. Now, here's how it works in my house. Because there comes a time in every father and son's rite of passage where you share a profound truth. Yesterday, the profound truth I shared, I introduced the Three Stooges to my son. Now, I'm laughing, choking, can't breathe, falling off the bar stool. And Nick's looking at me going, why are you laughing? Just didn't get it.
Didn't get it
at all.
Keep at him.
And then I'm hitting rewind. I'm going, do you see what happened there? Yeah. That wasn't funny. No, he pulled the wrong tooth. Yeah. You see, he said, clean the ham, get it ready. And do you see how he was doing it, like, in the dishwater? Yeah. He's an idiot, Nick. He's an idiot. Don't you get it?
He's a stooge.
And Nick's sitting there thinking, dumb ways to die. So many dumb ways. I guess it's kind of like Barry Manilow, right? You either love him or you don't. Neil Diamond, you either love him or you don't. Three Stooges, you either love him or don't. Now, don't even get me started on the Barbary Boys. Little Rascals. Maybe I'll do Little Rascals next. I don't know. But if you don't laugh at the Three Stooges,
just keep at him.
And yet, you know what's funny? They'll watch the Brady Bunch and be hysterical laughing.
Yeah.
They don't watch it like serious. They watch it like a comedy.
Yeah, because the Brady Bunch tried to teach you lessons.
Yeah, they're not into that. So I tried my big rite of passage. I tried the Three Stooges. Didn't get it. I loved Mo Howard.
I loved all three
If I could go back in time and just get one meeting with Groucho Marx and Mo Howard.
Yes.
Oh, what a life this would have been. But I do have Wink Martindale Thursday.
That's right.
Can't go for me. All right.
Wake up and go to sleep, porcupine.
I mean, it is such a slow news day. Seriously, if you've got a great story, if something that meant a lot to you, you tried to pass on to your kids, and it just laid there like a dud. I couldn't believe, of all people, Nicholas. He's got the maturity level of me.
I figure he would have been all into that.
All into the Three Stooges. I mean, my only worry when I revealed it to him was, okay, don't start doing this with your sisters. You know, next thing I know, he's going to be poking his sisters in the eye.
You see that?
What's the matter with you? throwing slime like pies in faces. No, didn't get it at all. Maybe you got a story similar to that.
That's the latest news brought to you by Tennessee Division of Forestry.
I just got this, from the home office.
Oh, yeah?
Adriana. Mm-hmm. Right. Nick can solve a Rubik's Cube in 1 minute and 36 seconds. And you think the Three Stooges will stimulate his brain? Well, I'm brilliant, too, and I find them hilarious. They're sitting down, right?
Yeah.
They got one piece of ham. They're in Nazi Germany. They're starving.
Yeah.
So they start cooking. They sit down with the plates. Mo and Larry split the ham in half. Give Curly the two bones and four eggshells. And Curly's like, hey, what's the matter? And he goes, why, you win great. Here we are with just a half a piece of ham and one half of one egg each. You get two bones and four shells. You.
Okay.
And he's like, you're right. I'm cracking up. Right? Nick's over there. Dumb way to die. And I'm choking. You know, I mean, you just know the one guy, I got a toothache. You know they're going to the dentist, right?
Oh, yes.
I start cracking up. Why are you laughing? Because they're going to go to the dentist. Can't you imagine what's going to happen? When they have dentist tools? I'm just like in awe. What's the matter with you? Why are you? Give me a little mo.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
That needs to be a drop. Let's pay homage to Mo Howard. And
yes.
and give him a drop. The news is brought to you by Something Forester. What was it?
Tennessee Division of Forestry.
From the Beacon Capital Management Weather Center, here's your forewarn weather forecast.
Although it's the first day of spring, temperatures will be the coldest we'll see all week. Starting off a little warmer in the 50s this morning before dropping down to the 40s this afternoon. Rain showers expected all throughout the afternoon and early evening hours before switching over into a rain-snow mix overnight. We're under a freeze warning and winter weather advisory through Wednesday morning at 10 a.m.
Yay!
With your forewarn forecast, I'm Melanie Layden.
All right, how is this more funny than the Three Stooges?
Set fire to your hair. Poke a stick at a grizzly bear. Eat medicine.
It's cartoons with all dumb ways to die over and over again.
Yeah,
that's funny, but then, but not. What's the matter with you?
Pipe down, porcupine.
Or as I would say to you, first usage of the drop in the proper form, as I would say to you, Ken.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
I'm broadcasting. Cloudy at 54 at Super Talk. Oh, my gosh. Now we got to do foreign policy with. The first time Carafano says something insulting to me, play that. Shut up. I'm broadcasting.
Information-fueled, opinion-driven. That's Super Talk 99.7 WTN. I'm Michael Del Giorno at 942, 18 minutes before 10 o'clock. Brother Ken, have you been counting?
Counting what?
That's four in a row for your Nashville Predators.
That's right.
15 of their last six. This is insane.
They're the best team in the league.
106 points, best in the NHL. That's 10 over the Jets in the Central Division of the Western Conference. 9 points over Vegas for the number one seed in the Western Conference. And 4 over Tampa Bay is the best record in hockey. And here comes tomorrow night at the Bridgestone Arena, the Toronto Maple Leafs, the next victim for the Nashville Predators. 4 in a row, winning 4-0 over Buffalo last night.
How about that Pekka-Rinne? That's his 8th shutout, I think, of the
year. Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
Now we turn to... James Carafano is a very, very, very important individual. A brilliant military and foreign policy mind. He presides over the most brilliant minds at the Heritage Foundation in Washington, D.C., a West Point grad, a brilliant mind. Even you, James Carafano, love the Three Stooges, right?
I did when I was a little kid. I did.
I played the Three Stooges for my son for the first time.
Didn't get it.
Didn't get it at all.
Right, yeah.
Just blew my mind.
A generational thing.
I guess.
Abbott and Costello. Three Stooges.
Oh, I loved Abbott and Costello.
Hated Laurel and Hardy.
I didn't like Laurel and Hardy either. But
I thought they were boring.
But I loved Abbott and Costello.
Yeah.
And I love the Bowery Boys. Do you remember the Bowery Boys?
Yes, I love the Bowery Boys.
Now, I will be honest with you. I did not care for the Little Rascals. But I loved...
Hey, isn't that funny? I did not either. So, didn't like that. Yep, didn't like Laurel and Hardy, but loved Three Stooges. Abbott and Costello and the Bowery Boys.
What's the matter with you? I've got so many questions, and I don't even know if they're foreign policy. Like, just because we're picking on everything, but now they're blasting Trump for being silent over the Austin bombings. And again, I want to laugh out loud on this. He's the commander-in-chief. He's the president of the United States. There's nobody in Austin that has yet to put their thumb on exactly what this is.
What are they expecting to do?
That's what I'm saying. I guess they expect, like the previous president, people just shoot their mouth off before they know... What would he comment? He doesn't know what it is yet or who it is.
Yeah. This has a lot more of kind of the feel of the Unabomber type thing. Here you have somebody with obviously with some very sophisticated bombing skills. They're not out to produce mass casualties, right?
Bingo.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like Boston.
Yet.
Right. Yeah. Right. And there's no claim of responsibility. So this is.
So you're like me. You don't
hard
think,
to get ahead of this story.
So you're like me. You don't think there's any. I would say there's a chance, but I think there's very little chance. This turns out to be Islamic terrorism. ISIS, Al Qaeda.
I would say zero.
They wouldn't be doing like one or two people. I mean, this is just Austin. Now I think the latest one was a FedEx depot in San Antonio, but I mean it's sticking mainly in that one area.
Yeah. This is somebody who has some kind of agenda that only known onto them.
You're right.
And, yeah, it's a very, very difficult thing. I mean, other than, you know, the thing with bombs is there's always some forensic evidence.
Oh, they leave a signature like a fingerprint.
Right. Yeah. So, so you build up this case, and then, but then what you do is you have to have something to hook it onto, right? You know, as you know, really, until the guy published his manifesto, they had no clue who that guy was. I mean, it was eventually it was the publishing of the manifesto which led to the series of clues that allowed them to identify the Unabomber.
There is something interesting how they all ultimately, they kind of want to get caught, don't they? And they'll eventually do it and do it and do it. And if you don't catch them quick enough, they'll start trying to get caught as if that's the fulfillment. Yeah.
I mean,
of the
I don't know the pathology of this particular, these individuals and stuff, but you know, look, building bombs are not the hardest thing in the world, but they're also, you know, it's not so simple. I mean, you know, somebody here's got some skills. So what it's all, I don't know. So I don't know what they expect the president to do about it, but
no, it's just laughable, their obsession with the president. I know we call it a war on drugs.
Right.
But it's not technically a war that would demand, you know, necessarily the leadership of the commander in chief. I think it's good for a president to address our porous borders and how these drug lords are impacting our citizens and impacting our culture. And we're not doing enough to target them, to stop them, and send the deterring message. But I don't know if it was in the president's best interest to start talking about capital punishment for drug dealers. But.
I don't either. I mean, you know, this administration has, and I think rightfully so, elevated. I mean, when they talk about the big problems in the world, they talk about Russia, China, North Korea, Iran, and ISIS and Al-Qaeda, which honestly was the same to-do list as the last two presidents. What this administration has really been different on, and this is really since day one, is they have elevated the transnational criminal cartels, not, you know, on the level of China, but as a problem that is a threat to the United States, because the cartels, which, you know, traffic in everything, including illicit synthetic drugs, it's not just a Latin America problem. I mean, their links go through the United States into Canada. They go across into South Asia where they traffic in arms. They go into Africa, through Africa into Europe where they traffic in drugs and money laundering. So, they are a destabilizing, corrupting force and a serious problem. So powerful enough that they do rise to the level of something that the U.S. government has to pay attention to. And to the administration's credit, they have focused on transnational networks.
We did try to give them guns to track them. That turned out to be a disaster. So I guess I would rather the public rhetoric. James Carafano joining us from the Heritage Foundation, and it is a blessing that these are the kinds of issues we're kicking around.
Right.
So it does show you that the president's foreign policy has all the bad players kind of behaving at the moment. I want to ask you a little bit about another big story, and that is the election in Russia. Obviously, Donald Trump and the Trump team played a role on the ground in Russia to get him elected by such a landslide. We had to be tampering with that. You know, not so fair.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, to me, okay, all that's predictable, Russia, but to see people, European leaders, sending congratulatory notes to Putin, I think is just, that is beyond the pale.
Well, I mean, when's the last time they've had a fair election in Russia, let alone this one was like, some of it was caught on tape, but it really doesn't impact at all. I mean, they know they have no say. They know that no amount of truth is going to change anything. So who is Vladimir Putin? Why does he fix elections? Why is it so important? What is he up to?
I mean, look, you know, at this point, it's important. Putin can't leave, and this is kind of the dominant theory here, is Putin cannot leave power, because once he does, whoever returns the government over to, theoretically, they could turn on this guy. So, you know, once you've accumulated, I mean, this is kind of classic in totalitarian societies, once you've massed the wealth and power, you can't hand it off to anybody else, because then you put yourself at risk, and there's no other place you can go. So it's like you are, you know, it's like, you know, being addicted to heroin. I mean, you can't stop. So he's even if he wanted to, you know, if he said, I've accomplished everything in life, I'm ready to turn this on, there's nobody to turn it over to.
Well, he tried the puppet thing. You know,
No, that's different. I mean, and he may do that forever. In other words, you know, the way the Constitution rule is that you can only have two consecutive terms, right? So he can leave after the 6-year term, theoretically, and become prime minister, and then just put a puppet in charge of the government. But he's the real power behind the throne. So he's now ruled longer than any Soviet leader, and he's ruled as long as some of the czars.
So you'd have to be a moron, right, to be like making a big news story out of the elections, Jinchev fair in Russia. That would be a moron. But a legitimate question for somebody as smart as you and involved as you are: we're going to be dealing with Vladimir Putin till his death.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, that's probably, unless you know, he has so screwed things up that the people that help sustain him in power, you know, are risk, you know, overthrowing him. But I mean, these guys are very smart. I mean, it's the same way that, you know, the North Korean family has stayed in power is you don't give you do a combination between, it's just like the mob. I mean, it's exactly like watching an episode of The Sopranos, right? So it's a combination between paying off your people to make them loyal, but then also making them fear you, that if you're crossing, then you're a dead man. This is
James.
James, you
realize the mafia doesn't exist, that's a Hollywood creation to stereotype, right, Italian Americans in a negative way.
Yeah. Okay. So this is the thing with the
Did I say that right, Uncle Nunzio?
This is the thing with the nerve agent poisoning in Russia. It's like, why would the Russians use a nerve agent which people know came from Russia? And the answer is because they want you to know that they killed these people, right? Of course they're going to publicly deny it, but they use something that it makes it absolutely clear that they're behind this, so their enemies fear them. You know, it's the same reason why, you know, they sent the message that Luca Brasi sleeps with the fishes, right?
Again, James, the mafia is a media creation to stereotype and cast down Italian Americans. You should know this as an Italian. You should have been taught by your family. It doesn't really exist.
Yeah, I know. That was actually it.
But as for Paulie, you won't see Paulie no more.
Yeah. So, you know, they say, you know, it would either be a confirmation or a communion, right?
It's it.
Right? So communion was when you had somebody killed, but you didn't want them to get traced back to you, right? A confirmation is that you want everybody to know you killed that person so they fear you. And that's what this assassination is.
But enough about our neighborhood. All right, and real quickly, in closing thoughts, North Korea and these talks, any word on when they'll be?
Well, I mean, there are discussions ongoing. So at this point, I'm not willing to say there are not going to be talks. There might be. And I mean, there's lots of serious discussions going on. So maybe there will be talks.
All right, and they should be taken with a grain of salt in terms of expectations.
Sure.
Right. Appreciate it, James Carafano. Nice Italian boy. Talk to you soon. 9:53 at Super Talk 99.7 WTN. I'm Michael Del Giorno.